Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is postmodernism. Now, I know you may have never heard that term before, but that's okay. You will understand it by the end of the show. And it is very important that you do understand it. As a matter of fact, you come into contact with it every single day, and you have just not realized it. Now, to talk with me about this, I have Dr. Dave Johnson. And I'm going to tell you about Dr. Dave Johnson. He has a Master's of Art degree in Christian Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary, Doctorate of Ministry from Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he regularly submits articles to secular publications in order to interject the Christian worldview into the marketplace of ideas. And he's also president of Contend for the Faith Ministry. Could you tell us a little bit about your ministry?
Well, sure, Harold. Again, thank you for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Contend for the Faith, what we do is speak and teach in churches or schools, universities, wherever we're invited, to primarily help Christians better understand and defend the Christian faith. We speak about every aspect of what we call apologetics, defending the faith. Mm-hmm. When Christianity is challenged from various cults, world religions, worldviews, philosophies, these challenges need to be answered with good responses. People do have good questions about Christianity. There are good responses to those good questions, and we help give people those good answers to those good questions that they have.
Great. And I've heard you speak on a number of occasions. You're speaking again this year. The Apologetics Convention or National Apologetics?
Yes, National Conference on Apologetics,
which
is at Indian Trail Baptist Church this year,
right.
November 11th and 12th.
Okay.
And the Friday night there is free, so I would encourage your viewers to come on out to Indian Trail Baptist Church, November 11th, Friday evening. That night they can hear three great speakers in the world of apologetics. They can hear them for free.
Okay, great. So let's get to it. Dr. Johnson, what is postmodernism?
Well, postmodernism is really the philosophy of the day. It's the philosophy du jour that we find certainly in American culture, and it seems to be spreading around the world as well. If I could put postmodern philosophy, if I could distill it down to one word, that word would be whatever. It's the idea of relativism. There's no such thing as objective, universal truth anymore. There are just truths. You have your truth, I have my truth. They can contradict each other completely, but that's okay because truth is just a matter of perspective. So people get very upset when you speak about something being one thing being true and another thing being false. They will say, well, wait a minute, that's just your truth. You're a Christian, that's true for you. I'm a Buddhist, that's true for me. I'm an agnostic, that's true for me. And all of these different people with conflicting viewpoints, they're all just fine. It doesn't matter really what you believe because truth is really personal. It's a matter of perspective. That's the postmodern relativistic view that so many in our society believe and embrace today. You see it in the media, you see it in the universities, on the college campus, professors especially teaching on these things. And really, where the rubber meets the road, it ends up being often a relativism of convenience. Very often, people buy into relativism or postmodernism when it comes to moral issues. You say that sex before marriage is wrong. Well, that's just your morality. I have a different morality, and I'm going to live the way I want to. Or you say abortion or homosexuality or whatever, these things are wrong. That's just your truth. I have a different truth, so don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. That's how it plays out in our society in a big way today.
So Dr. Johnson, how did we get here? What are the historical roots of postmodernism?
Well, historically, what preceded postmodernism as a philosophy that's very prevalent in our society was a philosophy called modernism. Modernism really developed right after the Reformation. It's referred to as the Enlightenment in Europe. The idea was essentially that man can understand and know truth, know reality, apart from any dogma that a church teaches. I mean, the Catholic Church was dominant at that time. The reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, they were protesting against what the Catholic Church was teaching, some abuses that the Catholic Church was holding on to. So there were other men, many of them were secularists, although some of them were religious, who looked at what was going on in the Catholic Church and then the Reformation, and they said, you know what, we don't like these religious doctrines, these dogmas that come down from the church. We want to find truth, but the way to find truth is through science and through reason. Science and reason alone tell us what's true and tell us what's right, and we shouldn't appeal to any kind of dogma or teaching that comes from a church. They would say, you know, that comes from a position of faith. Well, we want to know about fact. We want to know what's true and real. So science and reason, that alone brings us to truth.
Mention and evaluate some of the main teachings of this worldview, postmodernism.
Well, postmodernism, it's really a lot of things. It's really multifaceted, but I can give you some general ideas as to what's going on there. A postmodernist will claim, well, there is no absolute truth, no truth that applies to everyone in all places at all times. They'll say there's no such thing as a meta-narrative. Now, that's simply a term that means there's no grand story that explains everything in the universe, everything in reality. There's no great story that we all understand and can embrace as to how we got here, why we're here, where we're going, and that kind of thing. There are just individual stories. I have my story, you have your story. The Hindu has his story, the Buddhist has his story. So there are just competing stories, but there's no universal truth that really applies to everybody. They will say that reality is not knowable. You can't know reality in itself. You can only know your perception or your understanding of reality, but you can't actually get to reality as it is. So see, relativism is the way things really are, because you can't know the world in itself. You just know your view of the world. And that's why people can have different competing views of the world, and you just have to say, well, that's his view, this is my view, we just agree to disagree, and it's our own truth, because truth is a perspective.
Well, here, I just want to interrupt for a second. Here's an example. I'm going to give an example of how this is in our culture, and we're not even aware of it. I think one of Dr. Field's favorite sayings is, reality is perception. He says it all the time. And I mean, and people listen to him, and he's, you know, considered a wise guy, mm-hmm. you know, a man who has really good understanding. So we listen to this, and we say, oh, yeah. Okay, but that's postmodernism, and we don't even realize it.
That is postmodernism, and I've never actually watched Dr. Phil. I mean, I know who he is. I'm aware of him. But the question I would ask him in response to that statement is it really true that perception is reality, or is that just your perception?
Right. It's a self-defeating statement.
It's a self-defeating concept. It's a self-defeating idea, as we will see in all of these concepts having to do with postmodernism. But let me give you a great example of how this is playing out in our society. You know, all of us know where we were, can tell where we were when 9/11 happened, when the planes hit the towers and the Pentagon, terrorists attacking our country. Well, it's interesting, there was a Newsweek magazine that came out in December of that year that had an article by a Yale College student named Allison Hornstein. And Allison is writing about what happened on the Yale campus right after 9/11, Yale being, you know, one of our premier universities, Ivy League school in Connecticut. She writes this article. It's titled, "The Question That We Should Be Asking." And the subtitle is Terrorism Wrong? My generation may be culturally sensitive, but we hesitate to make moral judgments. Then she talks some about her upbringing, essentially taught relativism and multiculturalism in high school. And she says, but being taught to think within a framework of moral and cultural relativity without learning its boundaries has seemingly created a deficiency in my generation's ability to make moral judgments. She's saying that on the Yale campus right after 9/11, they were actually debating, did anything really wrong, morally wrong, take place on 9/11? They were actually seriously struggling to try and figure out, is something objectively morally wrong, evil, did that take place on 9/11? And then she likens certain things. She says, you know what, there are certain things that we can and should judge as morally wrong. And she gives rape as an example. I think that's one of these things that we should pass absolute moral judgment on. And then here's her classic statement. She says, to me, hijacking planes and killing thousands of civilians falls into this category. Others may disagree. Mm. It is less important to me where people choose to draw the line than that they are willing to draw it at all. Now, at the same time, she's arguing against total relativism. She's saying there are some moral absolutes that we should speak against. Rape is one of those. She says terrorists killing people is another one of those, but she can't quite get away from the relativism that she's ingrained in. She has to couch it into terms like this. To me, hijacking planes and killing thousands of people is wrong. Others may disagree. And I would say others may disagree, and they're wrong. Right. They're foolish if they say it is not wrong, that terrorism and killing innocent people is not wrong. So this is a student at Yale University, one of our premier institutions. I mean, people are paying $20,000, $30,000 a year to send their kids there, and they're actually having trouble figuring out if there's any such thing as objective morality. That's where we have fallen. That's the state of our culture based on the influence of relativism.
Which leads me to my next question, which you've already touched on. What has been the impact of that on our society?
Well, the impact is devastating. I think it was English apologist Malcolm Muggeridge who had a great quote where he says, we have, talking about Western society and Western thinkers, he said, we have educated ourselves into imbecility. And what he's saying is, essentially, you can go to a college campus somewhere in this country and find a PhD professor who's going to defend any kind of moral abomination, any kind of sexual deviancy at all. You'll find somebody who will defend that view. And Muggeridge says we've educated ourselves into imbecility when we embrace the idea that there is no such thing as truth, that there are no objective absolutes. Then we become moral and philosophical imbeciles, like I would say Alison Hornstein and some of her friends at Yale University are. They can't distinguish between right and wrong. They can't determine whether or not something actually objectively bad happened on 9/11. So that's where we find ourselves, and that's why we have such debates in our society about abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, all of these issues. People are saying, wait a minute, I have my view, you have your view, don't tell me my view is wrong. Now, of course, the person who says, don't tell me my view is wrong, is telling you that you would be doing something wrong,
right,
and telling them that they're wrong.
Right.
If they really believed it's wrong to tell other people that anything is wrong, they wouldn't ever tell anybody else that what your view is wrong. You're a Christian, you're telling me my lifestyle is wrong. It's wrong to do that. Well, they're being wrong by their standard in informing somebody else that they disagree and they believe it's wrong. So there are self-defeating ideas and concepts throughout this whole idea of relativism and postmodernism.
Do they recognize that it's self-contradictory?
Most people do not. I mean, it's just they are blinded by it. I think it's been correctly said that, you know, all of us have blind spots. It's like when you're driving in your car and there's that one little blind spot that you can't quite see, so you have to look extra carefully to your right, because the mirrors don't show you that. All of us have blind spots, and this is a blind spot for many people in our society, but they're buying into this false idea, this bad philosophy, this bad theology, that there is no such thing as truth, which of course itself, that statement is a truth claim.
Right.
And the response to that is, well, is that claim true, that there is no such thing as truth? It's a self-defeating claim. If it were true, then it'd be false. I mean, it just makes no sense. So what we have to try and do is help people think through their ideas. We have to ask good questions. If somebody says there's no such thing as absolute truth, we need to ask them, are you absolutely sure?
Right.
There's no such thing as truth. Is that a true statement? We need to ask good questions. It's like Jesus did when Jesus was confronted with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He would very often ask them a good question. He could have accomplished the same thing by making a statement, "You Pharisees, you're wrong because you don't understand this," but very often he would ask them a question to help them consider their own assumptions and realize they were not standing on a firm foundation. They were sinking in quicksand by the premise of their question. So if we ask a good question, we can demonstrate to people that what they're saying doesn't make any sense. A well-placed question will go a lot farther than a strong, direct statement that, you know, you're wrong and here's why.
What has been the effect of postmodernism on the church?
Well, there has been an effect of postmodernism and relativism on the church, and it's really coming into the church in a significant way. There's a movement within the Christian church that's called the emerging church, or some call it the emergent church. But the emerging church is the idea, essentially, by many, that what we need to do, looking at the culture that we live in a postmodern culture, they will say, so we need to adapt and conform the church and the way we do evangelism to the society, to the postmodern culture. Essentially, they're trying to merge postmodernism and Christianity together. And the foremost proponent of this is a man named Brian McLaren. He's a pastor of a church in up in Maryland. And probably the key book that many people may have heard of is A New Kind of Christian. And McLaren writes in this book, he writes, it's a story about a pastor and a young man who's wondering about considering Christianity. He has lots of questions about it. And so it leads to a new kind of Christian. And a new kind of Christian is a postmodern Christian, a Christian who denies the dogmatic claims that there is absolute truth, but what we have are just stories. Here's my story of what I found that I like in Christianity. Let me share that story with you and invite you to come along with me in my story. Now, if you're a Muslim, you can share your story with me, but neither of us should say that our view is objectively true and the other person's is by definition false. You can't say that. That's narrow, it's dogmatic, it turns off people in a postmodern culture, so we can't do that. We need to be a new kind of Christian and not talk about absolute truth.
Well, I have a problem with that.
And
the main
problem
I have with that is John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." How do they deal with the exclusive claims of Christianity in a church that's trying to be all things to all people?
Well, I would say they deal with it poorly and wrongly, but what they'll say is, you know, it's great if you read that and you embrace that and you accept that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then that's a great thing. And we can even tell people, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But we tell people that in the way that we're saying, this isn't objectively true, and if you reject it, there are stern consequences. We say it as, this is my story. This is what I believe. I've gotten meaning and purpose in my life because I've embraced this story. Therefore, I offer it to you, and you can embrace it as well. It's really what I call it is not a new kind of Christianity, but a new kind of heresy, because ultimately it's denying the objective truth of Christianity. It's saying, this is just a story, Star Wars. Star Wars is a great story. What if I told you, Harold, I'm a Jedi Knight, and I've been studying under a Jedi Master, and there's a force, there's a good side and a dark side of the force, and my life has been impacted so much by believing in this force and following on the good side of this force. My life has been impacted greatly by it, I'm telling you the story so you can come along and embrace my story too. Now, that's what they're doing essentially with Christianity, but we all know Star Wars is a movie, it's
right.
A story, it's a fiction that somebody created in their minds. When we tell somebody about Christianity, we're not telling them about this is a great story that will make you feel good, we're telling them this is true, this is history.
Right.
God so loved the world, He sent His Son into human history into a human body so that he could live among us, live a perfect life, fulfill prophecy, perform miracles, that he would die on the cross for the sins of every person in the world, and that he would rise again so that we know if we trust in him, we can be saved. We can have eternal life and live with God forever. That's objective truth. It's history. It's reality. Right. That's what we're saying when we preach the gospel to someone, but that's not what the emerging church is saying. They're saying, this is our story. We invite you to embrace it.
Well, what's Christian then about the emerging church?
Well, they will say that they embrace the doctrines of the faith, the essential doctrines of the faith, but they say that we can't really know that these things reflect reality. We can't know the world as it is. Let me give you a quote from a couple of professing evangelical Christian scholars who buy into this idea. Stanley Grenz and John Franke, they say in their book Beyond Foundationalism, they say, we do not inhabit the world in itself. Instead, we live in a linguistic world of our own making. Now, what they're saying there is this. We can't know the real world. We can't know reality as it is. But we just live in this linguistic bubble, in this world that is shaped by our language. And people who speak a different language, they live in a different reality. And so we are trapped in this linguistic bubble. We can't know the world as it really is, but still we call ourselves Christians and we want to tell other people about this story that we found and it brings meaning to our lives. But they can't say, and they won't say, it's objectively true and you reject it at your own peril. A postmodern culture doesn't like hearing these kind of absolute claims, and so we don't want to offend a postmodern culture, therefore we have to alter our message in what the gospel is when we're giving it to this postmodern culture.
Well, there is no gospel there. There is no gospel message there.
There's not a true gospel message that lines up with reality. There is a gospel message that we like that's really just a story. Now, we need to keep this in mind. No one is saved by listening to or believing the story of Jesus. We're saved by the person of Jesus Christ, by his work on the cross for us on our behalf, dying for my sins, rising again from the dead, demonstrating that he was and is God in the flesh. And when I place my faith in him and trust in him, then my sins are washed away and I'm reconciled. I'm made righteous and perfect in the eyes of God so that I can spend eternity in heaven. But the postmodern view, the emerging church, it doesn't have that that factor of reality in its message. It's just a story and you should believe it because it'll help you in your life.
As a matter of fact, it is, like you said, it's not really a church at all. I mean, it's just, it seems like a group of people who get together who share these relativistic ideas. As a matter of fact, they're doing exactly the opposite of what Christ commands us to do. He commands us to go out and to change the culture, whereas in this emerging church, they're saying, no, let's go out and be changed by the culture.
I think that's an essential point, and let me develop it just for a minute. Just a couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference in Bethesda, Maryland. Brian McLaren, who is the figurehead for the emerging church, he had this conference called a Generous Orthodoxy Conference based on this book. And what he did in those 2 days, very much of what he did was essentially say, you know what? By the people he had speaking and by things he said as well, the claim is this: homosexuality is just fine. God made people in this way. No one should challenge anyone to come out of a homosexual lifestyle. God loves them and embraces them. We need to embrace them within the church. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Now, as I see him doing that and I listen to the things he says and the things that the other people at the conference said, what I see is this. I see the people in the emerging church placing the culture above the Bible. Yeah. The culture dictates how we interpret and understand the Bible. It's not that the Bible dictates how we understand and interpret the culture. So in looking at a postmodern world in which we find ourselves, McLaren and the other emerging church leaders, they're saying we need to conform the church, not only how we do the church, but the message of the church. We need to conform that to be more palatable, more acceptable to the years of a postmodern culture. And by doing that, he's really putting the prevailing view of the culture above the Bible. The Bible is subservient to the culture.
Now, is there anything as Christians that we can do to combat this whole postmodernism thing?
Well, there are several things that we can do to combat postmodernism, I believe. First of all, we need to understand what truth is, that truth corresponds to reality. Truth is the way things really are. And that any view opposing that is self-defeating, it's contradictory. The person who says you can't know reality, the question to ask is, how do you know that you can't know reality? Is it true that you can't know reality? It's a self-defeating idea. The person saying you can't know the way the world really is telling you this is the way the world really is, that you can't know the way the world really is. It's a self-defeating idea. We need to start from there, point out these self-defeating ideas, and show them that truth is knowable, truth is objective, truth is absolute. You can't escape that. And then we need to give them the truth from the Bible. The Bible isn't just a nice story that makes people feel good. The Bible is the Word of God. It's history, it's facts, it's reality. It does correspond to what actually happened. And by embracing the Jesus who is God, who is taught about in the Bible, and when we listen to what he says and does, we can be saved and we can live with God forever in heaven.
Are there any resources you can recommend to people who are interested in learning more about the emergent church or about postmodernism?
Sure. Well, there are some good books. There's a good book that has come out already, written by a man named Carson, D.A. Carson. Mm-hmm. It's called Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church. And what Carson does in this book is he evaluates Brian McLaren mainly and some of the other emerging church leaders, and he points out what's good about the ideas that they have in the emerging church, and he points out what is erroneous and misguided about the teachings of the emerging church. So this is a good book here. And there's another book that's coming out in November by a professor in California named Scott Smith. And the title of that book, I believe, is Truth and the New Kind of Christian. Truth and the New Kind of Christian. And that's an excellent examination and critique of the teachings of the emerging church leaders, showing where they go off base philosophically and biblically. And I'm really concerned about this, because if you abandon the idea of objective truth, you cannot merge Christianity with that. Christianity, if it's about anything, it's about objective truth, and it's about Jesus, who, as you said, is the way, the truth, and the life, the one way to heaven. And we need to know that and embrace that in order for us to get to heaven.
Well, Dr. Johnson, we're at the end of our show. Briefly, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, our ministry is called Contend for the Faith. We have a website at www.contendforthefaith.org, and people can get in touch with us, send us emails, and we'll come and speak and teach at churches or any kind of group on this topic or any other topic dealing with contending for the Christian faith in our society.
Thanks again, Dr. Johnson, for coming on talking about postmodernism. That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.